All right, good morning. Good to have you back this morning. If you would, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 3. Book of Genesis, chapter number 3. We're continuing our Sunday school lesson this morning, and we've been dealing with the subject of why I do and why I do not, and specifically speaking this week and the past 2 weeks on Christians' clothing. This is a twofold purpose. The first one is we are dealing with the subject of the judgment seat of Christ. And in this subject of the judgment seat of Christ, there is a lot to cover. In a Christian's life, there's a reason why we do everything we do. And we need to understand that. We need to know why we do everything we do and why there's things we don't do. Some Christians go through their life and they do things because they were told by somebody to do them. And there's others that don't do things because they were told don't do these things, but they really don't understand why they do what they do and why they don't do what they do. And I've known a lot of preachers over the years that have told their congregation do this and don't do that, and most of them are biblical and some of them are not, but I was asked specifically, why does your wife not wear pants? Why do your daughters not wear pants? And why do we, have the type of music we have at our church? And so I wanted to answer that through this Sunday school. And so the last couple weeks we looked at it. And if you missed the first two, Christians Clothing 1 and Christians Clothing 2, you can get those on our church website, whiteoakibc.com. Go to the live stream tab and scroll down. You can look at it in the archives. And so we're continuing that here this morning. And we'll eventually get to the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll look in great detail at the judgment seat of Christ and what will take place that day and some things you can do to help yourself during that time. But before we get there, I was wanting to really dial down into some of the specific things that we do and to answer the questions that I was asked on why we do what we do. So we started looking at the Christian's clothing a couple weeks ago. And we're going to continue that here this morning. I encouraged you last week to take and run certain words through the Bible, like the word naked and the nakedness and clothing and clothe and clothes. There's other ones you can add to that list along the lines of clothing, and that's you can look up garment. There's really three issues that need to be addressed when we ask ourselves, what should a Christian wear? Issue number one is dealing with nakedness. And I believe that's the first focus that we see in Scripture when it comes to wearing clothing, is dealing with what God considers to be nakedness. The second purpose of the clothing is modesty. It's dealing with something that you're covering yourself and being modest. So you can have flashy clothing. You can have over-the-top wear clothes that maybe are covering your nakedness, but they're still immodest. And I've seen that quite a bit as well. The third would have to deal with our gender. It has to do with gender identity. We as men should wear men's clothing, and women should wear women's clothing. These are all things that are taught in the Bible and should be your standard as a child of God. And so the devil, we talked about this last week, the devil has been trying to reverse anything that God has set in order. He's established a man and a woman. He created a man and a woman. We're trying to do away with identity. This society's trying to do with identity. The home and marriage, that's been under attack for a long time. There's multiple things we can look at that the devil's trying to reverse. And so we talk about clothing and we talk about gender identity. It's very important what we wear as a child of God. God designed a man and a woman, and whenever we start mixing the clothing, we're not doing a good service for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. So over and over again, the Bible talks about a shameful thing for a person to be naked. Go back and look up all the verses in the Bible that I mentioned, those specific words, naked, nakedness, clothing, clothes, clothes. Garments, look all that up. I realize some of those have to do with creation, and some of them are spiritually. speaking, but there's several in there that you can go look at that deals with the issue of clothing a body, a person. And so the first one I want to look at here, or kind of talk about for a second, is nakedness. The question is, what is nakedness? A lot of people have different opinions about what is acceptable and what is not acceptable, but I believe we have to go to the Bible as our final authority when it comes to the definition of nakedness. Remember, nakedness is not the only concern when we're getting dressed. There's a modesty and there's also identity, but it's one of the focal points, I believe, right off the start. We look at the law first mentioned in the Bible, and right off the start, we deal with nakedness in Genesis chapter 3, which we're about to look at. Now, there's some people that go to the extremes in either direction of how to define nakedness. There's certain groups, there's certain religious groups that believe you've got to be covered from head to toe, like literally have your hair covered. All you can see is your eyeballs. I mean, they're completely covered from the top of their heads, covered all the way down to their feet. And they consider anything other than that to be nakedness. And then you've got other people that, if you're wearing a wristband and that's it, you're not naked because you got something on. As long as you're in a string bikini, you're not naked. Most people in America today would think that a small bikini is not nakedness, or just undergarments or underwear being seen is not considered nakedness because you're covered in some fashion. But God defines nakedness as something different. Now, I've been preaching here at the church for several years. When I preach on this area of clothing and defining nakedness, the Bible, I believe, defines it as from the neck all the way down to the knees. And so I want to get into that this morning for just a few minutes, looking at the biblical definition of naked. And you say, what does any of this have to do with pants? Your wife not wearing pants. I think it has a lot to do with it in the definition of nakedness. So we're going to look through here, and I'm going to try to answer that before we finish this morning. And Lord willing, we'll be finishing up this Sunday school lesson this morning, and then we will go to music. I'd like to look at music next week, Lord willing. And then we'll look at some other areas of the Christian life of why we do some of the things we do. And then when we finish with that, it all leads up to the judgment seat of Christ, why we do these things. And let me say this. If you choose not to do this, maybe you're a woman or a husband and you say, I want my wife wearing pants and I don't mind her doing that. That's between you and God. The Bible tells us in Romans that you will give an account of yourself to God. But I believe that I'm doing right as a pastor of this church to preach and teach what I believe the Bible is teaching us as a Bible doctrine. I've heard some preachers criticize the preaching of modesty and dress in a church. I mentioned some of that last week, and they call it extra-biblical standards. I don't believe there's anything extra biblical about what I'm teaching this morning, about what I've taught the last 2 weeks. I believe it's very scriptural, and you can run it from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And we're going to look at a few of those verses this morning. But if you choose not to do this, I'm not going to think any different of you because you're going to stand before God, and I'm going to stand before God. On the other hand, on the same hand, however you want to say it, if you choose to, as a woman, not to wear pants, and a man, you choose to dress modestly and cover your legs and dress appropriately, nothing too tight. You can dress perfectly in the eyes of man, dress perfectly in the eyes of God, dress perfectly modest, covered up in the right apparel, the right type of clothing, and have a bad heart about it, or be lifted up with pride and be arrogant and be self-righteous because of how you're dressed. And you're wrong with God too. It's not going to fare well for you at the judgment seat of Christ either. So don't get me wrong. Just because you dress right doesn't make you right with God. But I would rather understand what God defines as modesty and understand what God sees as nakedness. And I would rather err on the side of too much than not enough. I can't imagine standing before God and saying, Lord, we tried to please you, and doing it with the right heart. Lord, we tried to please you, and him say, well, you overdressed every day. I don't think that he would get on to me for doing that, for trying to do the right thing and trying to have the right heart about it. Now, if you're one of those people that, you know, you want to hit people upside the head if they're not dressed right, and you tell them they're wicked and they're going to hell, and if a woman's wearing a pair of pants, you know, she's wicked as hell and she don't love God. I mean, I'm not doing that. That's between you and God. I am going to preach what I believe the Bible says, but that's between you and God. You're going to give an account of yourself to God. And I'm answering the question on why we do it, why my wife doesn't wear pants, and why my daughters do not wear pants, why I don't wear shorts above the knee. I don't wear shorts at all. I never have, but as long as they're below the knee, when you sit down and it don't come up above the knee and expose what the Bible defines as nakedness, that's fine. I mean, but again, that's between you and God. I'm just trying to answer that question this morning. And I would rather err on the side of too much than not enough. When I stand before God, I'd like for Him to be pleased with my life, because I'm thankful for Him saving me. I'm thankful that I get an opportunity to serve Him. Thankful for all He's done for me. And the least I could do is try to please Him in my life. And again, when you talk about clothing and music and your attitude, your conduct as a Christian, I want to look at that here in a few weeks, the conduct of a Christian. When you look at all those things, it has nothing to do with us being better than anybody else. It has nothing to do with us being, I'm an independent Baptist, and it doesn't have anything to do with the denomination or being better than other people. It has to do with pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ and standing before Him at the judgment seat of Christ, saying, "Lord, I tried with the right heart to please You. And if You define nakedness and You define modesty in the Bible, then I want to try to please You." You say, are you perfect on everything? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Next Sunday, Lord willing, I'm going to be preaching on Be Thou Perfect. And I want to look at the Scriptures. There's a lot the Bible has to say about perfection for a Christian. And I want to look at that. And answer some questions there. You say, are you perfect? No, there's things. I mean, but at the end of the day, when we talk about clothing and identity and all those things, that's something other people can see. You say, well, God looks on the heart, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And that's absolutely true. But your outward appearance is representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has a lot to say about the outward appearance. So we need to get that right. And between you and God, get that thing right. And so different people define nakedness in different ways. I mean, there's different types of fabric. There's some that think that yoga pants is appropriate because it covers a certain area. And man, I tell you what, if it shows every form, you could be wearing a skirt and a dress that's form-fitting. A man could be wearing a t-shirt or a shirt that's form-fitting and shows every, you know, nook and cranny, and it's not right with God. All right, I believe, because of what we're about to look at. All right, so biblical nakedness, I've always preached it. It's from the neck to the knee, and I'm going to show you some verses why I say that. All right, Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 21, and I hope you found your place, Genesis 3:21. We've already looked at this passage once in great detail, but for the sake of defining nakedness, I want to look at it again. And again, we have the law first mentioned in the Bible, the first time that nakedness is mentioned and the first time that clothing is mentioned. And we find here Adam and Eve. Now, when Adam took of the fruit and his wife with Eve took of it and her husband that was with her, partook of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, their eyes were opened and they realized they were naked. Immediately when they received their conscience, they realized they were naked. Okay, so God put that conscience in them to tell themselves, hey, I'm naked and I need to be clothed. All right, and you say, I know God did that because that's what the first thing they thought. So God made them, and that's the first thing they thought, and they decided to try to clothe themselves, and evidently what they tried to clothe themselves with was not appropriate to God. They were still naked to God because they tried to clothe themselves, and whatever they did, you know, you've seen the pictures or cartoon characters of Adam and Eve, and they've got the fig leaf sewn together, and it just kind of covers the essentials. And I don't know what they look like, but whatever it wasn't good enough in God's eyes to cover what He defined as nakedness. And so Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, the Bible tells us, "And unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. All right? I'm wearing a suit coat. And this coat goes around my shoulders. I can button it up and it covers my chest. It covers my stomach. It covers my waist. It, you know, this coat goes down and covers past my, down into my loins. Now, you said, well, it's defined as the neck to the knees. And I believe this coat went all the way down past their knees because later on, God specifically tells us that if the thigh is uncovered, it's considered nakedness. So comparing scripture with scripture, which is how we're told to study, this coat covered their from their neck. When you wrap a coat around you, it's from your neck all the way down to the knee. And again, I'm going to show you the knee part here in a few moments. So this is how God decided to cover nakedness. He made them a coat. I've heard some preachers preach that nakedness is only from the waist down to the knee because of the thigh. But when God addressed nakedness right from the bat, right off the bat in Scripture, He made them a coat. It was a coat of skin, and the Bible says, and clothed them. When you clothe something, you're covering up something. You're covering up, in this case, nakedness. All right? So when we define it as the neck down to the knee, here's the first Scripture we find. And I believe this coat was from the neck down to the knee. And I'm going to show you why the knee part here in a little bit. If God defines the thigh as nakedness, then He's going to cover that too with His coat. All right, Exodus chapter number 28. Go with me to Exodus chapter number 28. Again, as I go through here, I continually remind you that this is between you and God. And if you decide not to do this, or, you know, I don't want anybody running and jumping and hiding behind a shelf at a store or something because I see the preacher. I mean, that's between you and God. If you're not dressed modestly, I mean, you can be in a pair of pants and dress modest. I still don't think that's what God desires for you to wear, but you could be, you know, modest, I guess, and, you know, it's not form-fitting, but we've got to, you know, run and jump and hide and those kind of things, but that's between you and God. I'm telling you why we do it and why we have that standard here at our church. And we do ask our Sunday school teachers. If you're a woman Sunday school teacher, we ask you not to wear a pair of pants. And all of our Sunday school teachers know this, and they agree to it. Not to wear pants to any church functions, period. No church function, not to wear pants. And you say, well, that's just for women. What about the men? I ask the men, if they're in any kind of position of authority or they teach in this church, they have to wear a tie. You know, you're in a position of authority and leadership, and I ask them to wear a tie. So there's a dress standard for our church, and it's not because we're any better. It's because we're trying to please the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we open up definitions of clothing to our interpretation, we'll end up like Adam and Eve and coming up with something that we think is okay, and it's still not pleasing to God. At the end of the day, we need to please the Lord Jesus Christ, not man. All right, Exodus chapter 28, look at verse number 39, if you would. We're going to read through a few verses here. And these are the verses that deal with the clothing, the garments for the priest. Moses was given these instructions by God on how to clothe the priest. Okay, in verse number 39, the Bible said, "And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen." So again, the first article that's covered is a coat. And that coat covers the top part of you. All right, continue on. "And thou shalt make the mitre of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. And for Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats." Again, coats. "Thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them, for glory and for beauty. Thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness." And now he's going to specifically design or define nakedness being from the loins even unto the thighs shall they reach. So the breeches we're going to cover from their loins all the way down their thighs, and that was covering that portion of nakedness on their body. That's what these linen breeches were supposed to do. And so within two verses into the Bible dealing with nakedness and clothing, God, I believe, sets groundwork and defines nakedness as being from the neck all the way down to the knee. You might say, Brother Andrew, I think you're blowing this out of proportion. That's not what it says. It says coats. It says breeches. It does say the thigh. Again, I'd rather err on the side of pleasing God and saying I tried to do right than say, like Adam and Eve, well, maybe that's not what he was talking about. And maybe I can get away with a low-cut coat. Maybe it was a low-cut coat, and the chest was showing. I would rather go with, hey, when I put on a coat, like a winter coat or something, it buttons all the way up to my neck. And now I see here in Scripture that the breeches were supposed to cover their nakedness, which was their loins, even to their thighs. That thigh area goes all the way down to your knee. So if it comes above your knee, then you're showing what God considers to be nakedness. All these women and men, I'm not just picking on women, I see men wearing shorts, these boating shorts or whatever you want to call them, and they're halfway up their thigh. That area that's exposed between the bottom of your shorts and your knee in God's eyes is considered nakedness. And honestly, nobody wants to see that. I mean, nobody needs to see that. If you're married, that belongs to your husband, that belongs to your wife. The Bible's very clear on that later on. Whenever he's defining the boundaries for the children of Israel on who they're allowed to marry and who they're not allowed to marry or who they're allowed to sleep with and not sleep with, he talks about uncovering their nakedness. That portion of your body belongs to your wife, it belongs to your husband, and nobody else. They don't need to see the shape or form of it. They don't need to see the skin. They don't need to see any of that stuff. It needs to be covered. That's for your husband or your wife. All right? And so that's what God defines that area as. Now, let me address one other thing in this passage in Exodus chapter 28 that comes up. I told y'all last week I got a preacher that I talk to sometimes about different things that we're preaching and teaching at the church. And he thought I was crazy for even teaching on this subject in a church today in 2021, but I'm trying to please the Lord, like I said, and we want to know what God says. Well, when I brought this subject up, he said he stays away from it because there's a couple different things that he sees in Scripture that is kind of not clear, and so he stays away from it. And so this is one of those areas because it says these breeches are here, and the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy, we've already read last week, that a woman should not wear that which pertaineth to a man shall not wear that which pertaineth to a woman. And we went over that in great detail and showed how that was from Genesis to Revelation, not just under the law. But with that being said, you have certain items that men wore in Scripture, and not just any men, but God's people. You find Saul and David, the priests, wearing garments that appear to be for a woman. When you just read it, it says here in this verse that they would make coats and make girdles and bonnets. Well, there were clothes that were designed for men, and there were clothes designed for women. God made that clear. Man, don't wear woman's clothes. Woman, don't wear man's clothes. And so these items were designed. This girdle here was not a woman's girdle. It was not a woman's garment. This was something that God designed for Aaron and his sons, for these men, that was a manly garment because God designed it for them. God did not have Aaron cross-dressing. And when you think about a girdle, you're talking about girding up your loins. And we're going to talk about that here in just a second in more detail when we get to specifically pants. But girding up your loins. And so that girdle that they wore, that's what they used to help gird up their loins. Okay? And you can do more research that on your own. But what I'm trying to say is I don't have a problem with it saying girdle here. And I don't have a problem with it talking about Saul's skirt or David's skirt. The area that was on the bottom of their robe, that went around the bottom of the robe that they wore, that was called a skirt. I don't have a problem with any of that. They were not cross-dressing. Those were garments that were designed for men. And women were not supposed to wear garments designed for men, and men were not supposed to wear garments designed for women, and men shouldn't wear each other's clothing. Okay? And so I don't have a problem with that. And they said, well, what about a bonnet? Well, this bonnet was not like you would see in Little House on the Prairie. My daughters have these little bonnets that they wear that wrap around their head, tie under the bottom, and, you know, it looks like from the Wild West days and what you would see like on Little House on the Prairie. That's not what this was. This bonnet was like a chef's hat. It was a hat that sat on top of their head and went straight up, and it actually looked, you know, like a chef's hat almost. I don't like using this example, but if you see the Pope or a cardinal in the Catholic Church, you see that big thing that's sitting on top of their head. I think they've designed that thing to mimic what the priests would have wore in the Old Testament. That is called a bonnet. Okay, it's not a feminine cross-dressing fabric that they put on top of their head. Okay, I the other day at our local Dunkin' Donuts here, I saw a man wearing a dress and he had a bonnet on top of his head. And it was not a chef's hat, and it was not a priest's hat. It was a flowery piece of fabric that wrapped around his head and tied under his chin. Man, it was unbelievable. That's wearing something that pertains to a woman. That's a man wearing something that pertains to a woman. These garments in Exodus chapter 28 and throughout Scripture that you see these people wearing that God told them to wear is not women's garments. They were designed for men. So I don't have a problem reading that. I don't have one problem at all reading that they wore a girdle. Later on it talks about a curious girdle. I don't know exactly what that is, but I know it's something God designed for a man because he put it on a man. All right? And so I don't have one problem at all with teaching this with conviction and with understanding that there was garments that applied to men and garments that applied to women, and God didn't want those going back and forth. Okay, for sake of time, I'm going to read off a couple other verses for you, and so we can get through here. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse number 27. The Bible said, and David was clothed with a robe of fine linen. Again, the clothing is something that covers up. If you run that word clothed through scriptures, you find even some applications to creation or to something that God made that he clothed this with it in a picture. And it's to cover something up. All right. So that in this case, it's covering nakedness, and we deal with a robe. So it's not just your loins. It's not just your thigh. It's the top part also. Okay. That David was clothed with a robe of fine linen. Now, I do want you to turn over to Isaiah chapter number 47. Isaiah chapter number 47. Here's another passage of scripture that deals with the nakedness being the thigh. Okay? Now, when you study some of these prophets, these Old Testament prophets, they were asked to do things that, man, just would blow your mind. The nation of Israel was a very, very wicked nation. Done some very ungodly, wicked things, and God used these prophets to physically demonstrate the spiritual condition of the children of Israel. Okay, so things like what we're about to read here was an example of Isaiah being told to do something, and we have other examples of other prophets in Scripture to demonstrate the spiritual condition of the nation of Israel. So when they saw these prophets, they saw a physical example of a spiritual condition that they had. Okay, Isaiah chapter 47, verse 1. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. We're in Isaiah 47, 1. Sit on the ground, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks. All right, now watch it. Make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. Okay, when you do those things, when you make bare the leg and uncover the thigh, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance and I will meet thee as a man. So again, the definition of a neck to the knee. Just in these few verses, I think we've already defined what nakedness, according to God, is. Now, another thing is brought up in this verse. It should be shameful for you to show your nakedness. When you study out these words, when you study out the do word studies, nakedness is tied to shamefulness. It is a shame. 1 Corinthians, it is a shame for a man to have long hair. It is a shame to be naked. All right. Isaiah chapter 22, verse 2 through 4. You don't have to turn there. We'll read it. Isaiah 20, chapter 20, verse 2 through 4. At the same time spake the Lord by Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saying, go, and watch it, loose the sackcloth from off thy loins. We've already defined that as being nakedness. Put off thy shoe from thy foot, and he did so, walking naked and barefoot. By removing the sackcloth from his loins, he is now naked according to God. And the Lord said, like as my servant Isaiah hath walked naked and barefoot 3 years. Again, this is an example of one of those things that God asked one of his prophets to do to physically demonstrate the spiritual condition of Israel. I'm thankful the Lord has not asked us to do that. Even though there's people that walk around naked all the time, I guess they feel like God wants them to do that for some reason, but God does not want his children walking around naked right now. The wonders upon Egypt and upon Ethiopia, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptian prisoners and the Ethiopians captive, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered. And once again, we see that it's time with shamefulness. It's tied to that, to the shame of Egypt. So, we see the biblical definition of nakedness, I believe, going through these scriptures. And there's a lot more scriptures. Please take the time to go look them up. And I don't want you saying, well, I'm not going to wear pants if I'm a woman, and I'm going to cover my thigh if I'm a man. I'm going to make sure I wear a shirt, and I'm not going to walk around with my shirt off, and I'm not going to, you know, cut my grass without my shirt on. And, you know, also I want to say that just because you cross from asphalt or grass over to sand when you get down to the coast, when you hit sand, that's not an invisible line that says, hey, God doesn't care about nakedness past this point. God still cares about nakedness even when you go to the beach or the coast or whatever you want to call it. But whenever you remove those clothing from the neck all the way down to the knee, that's considered nakedness, and that should be shameful. It should be a shameful thing, and I believe God has defined that here. All right? I don't even know what I was about to say, but that's all right. John chapter 21, verse number 7. We'll look at two more verses here. Two more verses. And then I'm going to give you some of these other verses so we can wrap up. All right, John chapter 21, verse number 7. I'll let you get over there. So, I believe we see biblical definition from the neck to the knee. All right, John 21, 7. Here's another verse to go with that. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. And he did cast himself into the sea. Now, there's two trains of thought here. The first one is that Peter was wearing his fisherman's coat, and it was open. His fisherman's coat was just opened up. He's maybe wearing it, but it was open. And so therefore, nothing was covered. And you could see his nakedness. You say, how do I know he's naked? It says right there in the verse, for he was naked. Even though he might have been wearing the coat, his nakedness was exposed. So God said, he's naked. I mean, you might as well be naked as a jaybird. Even if you feel like you're wearing something, God still considers it nakedness. Okay? And so maybe he's wearing this coat. And then if you study that word girt, to girt up your loins, it's possible he's wearing the coat, and then he closes his coat, and then he girts up his loins. And when you girt something up, you fold it together, you close it, you tie it. And so it's possible he had this coat and he closed it up. Okay, he closed his coat up and covered up his nakedness and girt up his coat and then jumped into the sea. Or another thought is that he wasn't wearing his coat. You say, now was he out there just absolutely naked as a jaybird? No, he might have had a loincloth on. He might have had some undergarments or something, you know, covering his privates, no shirt on. I'm sure you've seen the cartoon pictures of those disciples fishing, and they're not wearing a shirt, and they're just wearing like what looks like a cloth diaper. That might have been how he was standing in that boat. And God said he was naked. And so he grabbed his coat and put on his coat. He girt his fisherman's coat unto him. So he could have put it on and then jumped into the sea. Either way, he's naked. And he clothed himself with a coat. Not just a pair of shorts, a coat. Okay? Last example we have in Scripture is of Jesus Christ himself. Look with me in Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. Now, this example I'm about to give you is used by several preachers that I know of. I've heard it taught that a woman's dress should go all the way to the floor. I've heard it preached and taught that, you know, men or boys should not wear shorts, and women's dresses and skirts should go all the way to the floor. And they use, many of them use this passage to teach that. Okay? They use this passage to teach it. Now, I said earlier, I'd rather err on the side of safety and err on the side of, Lord, if this pleases you, this is what we'll do. My wife's dresses and skirts don't go all the way to the floor. They do go below the knee, and a lot of times they go all the way to the floor. I don't wear shorts personally. If you want to wear them, that's between you and God. I think God clearly defines nakedness as the neck to the knee. And so I don't hold to the fact that it has to go all the way to the floor. Now, if you want to do that, that's fine. I mean, that's better because there's no even accidental showing nakedness. If it goes all the way to the floor and you sit down, I mean, there's no even accidental nakedness. Okay, so there's nothing wrong with holding to this. There is something wrong if you preach it and tell people they're wicked as hell if they don't have a dress going all the way to the floor, or if they don't have a skirt going all the way to the floor. I think God clearly defines the nakedness and what area is considered as nakedness. Okay? Now, again, some people use this passage we're about to read as a definition that the garment needs to go to the floor, which would be your pants if you're a man. If you're a woman, your skirt or your dress going to the floor. Okay? And so here's the verse they use, most of them. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 12. Revelation 1:12. This is describing the Lord Jesus Christ. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Again, Jesus isn't cross-dressing with a woman's girdle. All right, come on. This is a man's garment he's talking about. All right? He's not talking about the modern-day woman's girdle. So, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about with a patch with a golden girdle. So, we find that Jesus Christ himself, when given a picture of him here, from Genesis to Revelation, we find the clothing that God's approved of, and that is covering the top, the neck, all the way down to the knee. All right, and now here, Jesus' garment went all the way to his foot. If you want to hold to that, praise the Lord. I mean, glory to God. If you don't want to hold to that, but you want, you know, cover your nakedness and be modest. Okay, so that's defining biblical nakedness. Okay. Again, there's other verses. You can go look them up. Pray about this thing. Don't just say, I'm going to do it because Brother Andrew said to do it. No, go home and talk to God about it. Now listen, if you don't have no convictions or standards, you can borrow mine. But that's not going to be very well at the judgment seat of Christ for you. You need to stand before God and say, Lord, I did this because I believe it pleased you, because I love your word. I studied your word. You know, maybe the preacher showed you some things, but you get in the Bible and learn it for yourself, and you find out what God would be pleased with for you. Now, after going through this, if you say, I'm not going to do this, that's between you and God. And you're more than welcome to look up to heaven and say, God, I read it. I see it. I don't see it that way, and I'm not going to do it. That's your prerogative. You do whatever you feel like you need to do between you and God. And my daughters, they're, you know, they wear dresses and skirts. They don't wear pants. And one day when they get older, they're going to have to decide, this is what I'm going to do. But I don't want them to do it because daddy said they had to. Because if that's the case, they'll stop doing it as soon as they're out from underneath daddy. I want them to know, and I teach this in my home, and I do it lovingly, I do it kindly, and I also tell my children all the time, we're not any better than anybody. We're a bunch of sinners saved by the glorious grace of God. We're thankful for it, and we're going to try to please God. But when we see other people that are not following the same standards we have, the same convictions we have, we do not look down on them. We still love them. We try to minister to them, and they have to give an account of themselves to God like we do. And we want to have the right heart, and we want to minister to them. And if they say they love God and they say they're saved, that's between them and God. And we just say, praise the Lord that you're that way. Amen. We're not going to look down on them. And I try to teach them those things. So that's biblical nakedness. Now, the second thing that I told you, and I'm wrapping up, we're not going to go into great detail on these two because I've already covered, I believe, most of it. When we talk about clothing for the Christian, the first thing is nakedness. The second thing is modesty. We read the verse in 1 Timothy chapter 2 in dealing with the women and their dress, that they must adorn themselves in modest apparel. Okay, we talked about that a lot last week. I'm not going to go over it again. But that has to do with bringing attention to yourself. Okay, your dress, your clothing as a Christian ought not to bring attention to yourself. It ought to bring attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. It should not be overly extravagant and flashy and everything to say, hey, look at me. It ought to be done modestly, decent, and in order to bring Christ the glory that he deserves. And that's how that ought to be. A Christian should always be modest, not just on Sundays. I mean, when you come to church Sunday, you ought to be modest. You ought to represent Christ. But you ought to do that Monday through Saturday till you come back to church again Sunday. What blows my mind is most Christians, they will wear something Monday through Saturday, or maybe on Saturday on the weekends when they're not at work, that they would never, ever, ever wear to church. And that shouldn't be that way. If you're comfortable wearing it Monday, you ought to be comfortable wearing it on a Sunday or a Wednesday night. All right? So it has to do with modesty. It has to do with representing Christ. Then the last thing that we're gonna talk about quickly here is identity. Okay, clothing for Christians. And this is where the pants come in. Identity has to do with your gender. Even society, up to recent society, has defined the difference between a man and a woman, okay? I know that that's changing. The government and people are changing it. But if you were to go into a bathroom in most places in America, you'll see a picture on the wall showing a man wearing pants, and you'll see a woman wearing a dress to tell you which restroom to go into, okay? And we discussed all this in great length a couple weeks ago. But clothing has to do with identity. It has to do with gender. God told them, the woman not to wear that which pertains to a man, Deuteronomy 22:5, and neither shall a man put on a woman's garments. Okay, so the defining question for this whole series, the whole first three of Christians' clothing, the question was asked, why does your wife not wear pants? Here's the answer. We're out of time for today. I'm going to give you these verses, and you go look them up, and you get an answer from God on how you want to handle it going forward. Okay, why does my wife and my daughters not wear pants? And why do I preach the way I do about nakedness and clothing in this church? Who wears breeches? If you study in Scripture, every time breeches is mentioned, every time girding up the loins is mentioned, when you gird up the loins, you take a piece of clothing, a piece of linen or whatever it was, that obviously is much longer than the knee, because once you gird it up and once you fold it up and tie it up to your loins, it still covers the nakedness. So obviously it has to be longer than the knee, because whenever you fold up that fabric and bring it up, then it covers that up. Okay, every time they gird up their loins, they would do that in preparation for battle. They would do that in preparation for fighting. Every time breeches is mentioned in the Bible, every time girding up your loins, which is what you're doing when you wear a pair of pants or you wear a pair of shorts, you're girding up your loins. All right? They're covered all the way around. You're girding up your loins. They would do that so they could go fight, so they could run. Every time that's mentioned in the Bible, it's dealing with a man's garment. Every time. There's not one time in Scripture that a woman is told to gird up her loins. Ephesians chapter 6, when dealing with the armor of God, the spiritual armor, it is talking about a spiritual armament that you wear. Okay, so yes, women are to gird up their loins spiritually when we talk about putting on the armor of God, but not physically. There's nowhere in Scripture a woman is ever told to gird up her loins. And every time breeches is mentioned in Scripture, it deals with a man's garment. Okay, so God does not want a woman wearing a man's garment and doesn't want a man wearing a woman's garment. Exodus chapter 28, verse 42. Write these down. Okay, and if you need to go back over any of this, it'll all be on our website. Exodus 28, 42. Exodus 39, 27 through 28. That's Exodus 39, 27 through 28. Leviticus 6:10. It's Leviticus 6:10. Leviticus 16:4. Leviticus 16:4. Ezekiel 44:18. Again, that's Ezekiel 44:18. Those are all mentioning of the word breeches, and there may be more in there, but every time it's a man's garment. Okay? And then again, when we talk about girding up the loins, every time in Scripture, every single time, a man is told to gird up his loins. It's never one time a woman. And when you put on a pair of pants, you're girding up your loins. When you put on a pair of shorts, you're girding up your loins. Okay? There's the great debate about culottes or basketball shorts. We have defined that as being okay in most churches today, or in Bible-believing churches. That's between you and God. I'm telling you, that's between you and God. All right? A woman's never told to gird up her loins. It's a man that is told to gird up the loins. Now, I'm going to leave you with this. Which one does a lady look the most like a lady? When she's wearing a pair of pants, or when she's wearing a modest dress or skirt? Which one looks the most like a lady or a woman? Okay, and there lies your answer. Identity and gender is important to God. So we don't need to do anything to jeopardize that. All right, I hope this has been an encouragement to you as you listen. Again, I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm just trying to show you from Scripture. And I had one brother come up to me and tell me, thank you. Thank you for showing me this. I mean, if you know something that's going to help me at the judgment seat of Christ, then I appreciate you sharing it with me. And I'm very thankful that he had that heart towards this. And it's been received well. And to God be the glory. We want to please him in all that we do. All right. Thank you. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to look at the area of music. Again, working our way towards the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to look at the area of music. God bless you. We'll see you. The morning service starts at 11 o'clock. Thank you.